you came to learn on such a night. It's unbelievable. So, I prepared the Inyan. So what was I going to do with it? But you came to learn on such a night as Yudim Sivs Nefesh. So let's learn. Let's concentrate to try to find an opening into the Kedushas Zman. That we're coming to the time of Yismach HaShemayim, the Sogel HaAretz, to the time when Shemayim and Aretz are rejoicing. The name of Hashem is in its order of Yud Kev Havke, Yismach HaShemayim, the Sogel HaAretz, which is the month of Nisan, Parshas HaChodesh, making the Hachanis to prepare to enter into the Yontiv. Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, said that Yitzias Mitzrayim was the Aviv HaOlam. That when the Jewish people left Egypt, it wasn't just a redemption for Klal Yisrael, but it brought redemption, it brought his chadshus, it brought the spring to all of existence. That until the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the world itself was living through a long, dark winter. And it seemed it would never end. And then when Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim brought something new into reality. The Aviv HaOlam was the spring of all creation. The spring of history. Now we have a Kabbalah that's brought down the Torah in the name of Rav Chaim Goyin. The name of Rav Chaim Goyin. We have a Kabbalah that in Nisan, Tchias HaMeisim will take place. Then in the month of Nisan, the resurrection of the dead will take place. So we have a Kabbalah from the Gaon, which is brought down in Tur Shulchan Aruch. And that's one of the reasons that's given from the Gaon. Why is it that on Shabbos Chalamoit Pesach, we read the Haftarah, the Chazanah, that some say Evashis Yecheskel's vision of the dry bones being brought back to life? Because there's a Kabbalah that in the month of Nisan there'll be Tchias HaMeisim. The dead will come back to life. As I begin to explain each week, if that's something that has been taught to us and it's part of our Kabbalah and our understanding of Torah, must be that it's nogeh to us even now. Halavai we should be zeichet to see beinenu, to see physically Tchias HaMeisim, the dead coming back to life. But I've mentioned before that the Kosky is to say, if I wanted to, I could bring the dead back to life, but it's a bigger chacham to bring the living back to life. So let's try to understand how we can bring the living back to life, which is a bechina, which is a level of Tchias HaMeisim, because there are many, many people who are alive who feel like they're dead, God forbid, who have no tachlis, and have no hope. So if this time of the year is the beginning of the time of Tchias HaMeisim, it means that there is a renewal of hope. So let's understand the Indian properly. Everybody here knows, and this goes back to Chazal, that the four cups of wine that we drink, Lil HaSeder, by the Seder, the four cups, the Arba Kaisis, are connected, correspond to the four Lashonos of Geula, of redemption, in Parshas Ve'er. Ve'Seisi, Ve'Tzalti, Ve'Ga'alti, Ve'Lakachti. Right? I will take you, I have taken you out, I have saved you, I have redeemed you, and I will take you to Eretz Yisrael. I will take you as my nation, as my people. And then ultimately, Ve'Veisi, I will bring you to the land. But the four Lashonos, the four words of Geula, gave birth to the four cups of wine that we drink Pesach night. It's explained in the Svarim HaKadoshim that we see a clear chiluk, a clear distinction between the first three Lashonos of Geula, the first three cups of wine, and the final Lashon of Geula, of redemption, and the fourth cup of wine. The first three, Vahitzeisi, Vahitzalti, Vigaalti, I took you out, I rescued you, and I redeemed you, those three Lashonos are all referring to our leaving Egypt, being taken out, being saved from Mitzrayim. Whereas the final lashon of Lakachti, I will take you, that's referring to the future, to that which will happen after leaving Mitzrayim, that will be brought to Hashem as His special people, and so on. So the first three lashonos, the first three terms of redemption that correspond to the first three cups, those are referring to hafkor min hashibud, to being taken out of slavery. To be taken out, it means being taken out of the tumah, out of the impurity of Mitzrayim. Whereas the fourth cup of wine, the fourth lashon of geula, lakachti, that is referring to be'etzim and the redemption, and man is being brought near to Hashem, being close to Hashem. Har Sinai, and ultimately being brought to Eretz Yisrael. This is the difference. And the Sforim have taught us also that the four parashiyos, the special four parashiyos that we've been reading, the parashiyos of Shkolim, Zohar, Parvin, and Mitzvah Hashem, now we're going to read Parashas HaChodesh, that these four special readings that we've been having Shabbos, that we've read in the month of Adar, approaching the redemption of Nisan and ushering in the month of Nisan, this Shabbos, that the four parashiyos also can be understood and divided in such a way. The first three are referring to tearing the human being away from impurity. Man's effort to separate himself from all that is evil, all that is ugly and wrong. Shkolim, which we learned last year, I didn't really discuss it this year, but Shkolim, which in the Sforim HaKadoshim means man's weighing himself. The word Shekel, Mishkal, means a person making a Cheshbon Nefesh, as I spoke about last week, of where he is in this world. Zohar, of course, means eradicating the Amalek in our lives, separating ourselves from the impurity of Amalek, and Parshas Parav is the purification from that stain that the eating of the tree of knowledge has left in the world. It's called death. That through the ashes of the Paradum, a man can achieve some relief from the curse of death, since the ashes of the Paraduma are used to bring purification from that defilement that is brought on by death. So the first three parashiyos of Parashas Shkolim, Parashas Zohar, and Parashas Parah are man's effort to take himself out of impurity. Whereas Parashas HaChodesh that we're going to read this Shabbos, Parashas HaChodesh, HaChodesh is Elohim, corresponds to the fourth language of the fourth term of redemption, which is Velakachti. And Velakachti, I will take you, means that there is something new and extraordinary that's taking place. Whereas the first three are speaking of our effort to untangle ourselves from filth. The fourth parasha, Parashas HaChodesh, means something new is ready to start. It means attachment to Hashem. It means that we're free from the clutches of impurity, and now it's time to move forward with something new, with His Chodeshes. Therefore, it's very interesting is that based upon the Yerushalmi, it's brought down la halach. That you're not allowed to be mafsik, you're not allowed to interrupt between the third and fourth kaisis. I'm sure you all know this, that one doesn't drink, or that there's not allowed to be an interruption between the third and fourth kais, which we don't have with the other kaisis. This is based upon a statement that's found in the Yerushalmi Megillah. The Yerushalmi says, Ein mafsikin ben paro l'achaydish. Listen to this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that even though we know that sometimes there are Shabbos that are mafsikim, that between the four parashiyos. However, you're not allowed to have a Shabbos between Shabbos Parah and Shabbos HaChodesh. They have to be one next to the other. Parashas Parah has to be immediately followed by Parashas HaChodesh, as it is now. It must always be that way. And Yerushalmi says, Ein mafsikim ben Parah l'HaChodesh. Why is that? So Ablevi says, Simon, there's a simon for that. Parsha, sir, when a kais is halal, we want to list is yishtem, and shlishi revila yishtem. So the Yerushalmi says an absolutely astounding thing, that the simon for this is that between the first kaisis, the first cups of wine, the first, second, person is allowed to drink, is allowed to drink wine during that time. However, between the third and fourth kais, one is not allowed to. So the Yerushalmi says that this is a simon that Rabbi Levi gave, that since we're not allowed to drink between the third and fourth kais, the third and fourth cup of wine, by the Seder, so too we're not allowed to interrupt between the third parasha of Parashas Parah and the fourth parasha of Parashas HaChodesh. So Yerushalmi, that itself is a wondrous thing. What does one thing have to do with the other? So based upon what we're learning now, just the beginning of what we're learning, we understand that and we're going to have to understand on a much deeper level that there is a relationship, there is a connection between the four Lashanis of Gula, this we see from the Yerushalmi, that there is a connection between the four terms of redemption and the four cups of wine that we drink Pesach night. And there's something very mysterious and remarkable that's happening between the third and fourth. We already learned that when it comes to the terms of redemption, there is something different. When we go from three to four, that means we're leaving, we've totally left Mitzrayim, and we're heading towards the Bnei Shalom in a new way. So there's something special that's taking place between the third and fourth cup of wine, between the third and fourth Shabbos, between Parashas Parah and Parashas Achaydish, and the four and the third and fourth Lashon of redemption, between Vegalti and Velakachti. Something is happening, and that's what we're going to talk about now. What's happening between the third and fourth? What does that mean? We understand on the most basic level that just to leave someplace without having a tachlis of where one is going is nishkan gareis hachachma. That happened here in America. There are people, there was a nation, there are many, many individuals who are enslaved in a very brutal way in this country. And Baruch Hashem, there were righteous Gentiles who worked hard to see to it that slavery would be eliminated. So the Gula redemption took place. The first three Lashonis of Aitzesi, Vitzalti, and Vigalti has taken place in the lives of many individuals, thank God, as we moved into the century. So there has been a Gula, there has been a redemption. But the problem is with the fourth Lashon of Alakachti, or as we would say, La'an. What does it mean, La'an? No, so now what? So now what? To where? What's the tachlis? So we understand on the most basic level that to be taken out of something terrible, but not to know where to go with that, to what to do with that, in effect, the redemption itself on such a level is terribly lacking. It can cause terrible pain for the people who are redeemed and for those who are connected to those who are redeemed. Therefore, the final lashon of Lakachti, I will take you, which is the final cup of wine, which is Parshas Chodesh is telling us that it's not, the point here is not just leaving Egypt, the point here is not just being rescued and saved and plucked out of the impurity of Mitzrayim, but there has to be a tachlis. The tachlis is Parshas Chodesh. That means to renew, to start. Something has to happen. Something new, something different. Or else done. Slaves who were redeemed from slavery but were not given a tachlis in life, they create their own slavery. They create their own miserable world of enslavement, a different type of slavery, and it's not necessary to go into that. Now everybody understands this. Therefore, we understand also that Parshas HaChodesh, which is V'lakachti, the final parsha, there's a rule that Hakol Hoylech Achar HaChasima. There's a rule in Yiddishkeit, there's a rule in creation that everything is established by the chesima, by the seal, just like in Yom Kippur, in the Ila. The chesima, hakol hoylech achar chesima, the chesima, the seal, the completion of this series, of this cycle, is the fourth parasha, which is Parasha Zechodesh. The truth is that we never really know what's happening when we're in the midst of a process. When we're in the midst of a process or in the middle of a revolution, we never really know what's going to be. We never really know how it's going to turn out. When we're raising children, the Marshal, if we could only be shown a vision of what that child is going to be like when he or she's 120 and that last breath is coming from his or her mouth, whether it's going to be a Shema Yisrael or whether it's going to be past the remote control of, right? We don't know, God forbid. We don't know. We don't know. We're in a process. We don't know with ourselves. As sure as we feel from today to tomorrow, we don't know what happens and things change. And with the children, all of life is a process of unfolding. And we're waiting for things to materialize. But until you reach the gemar, the completion, the chesima, the seal, the end, as long as the process is still evolving, is still unfolding, so then we don't really know, we don't really understand. That was in the parsha last week where the Ishbitz explained, it's brought down in other Svarim, but the Ishbitz enter into the depth of this inyan, that the Rebbeinu Shlom only showed Moshe Rabbeinu his back, kiyadua. And the meaning of Hashem showing Moshe Rabbeinu his back, when Moshe sought to see the face, of course it doesn't mean anything physical. So Hashem said, you can't see my face, you can only see my back. So the Yisrael say explained that it's impossible when you're in a process, it's impossible when you're going through something to understand it. It's only after you've completed it can you look back and say, ah, that's what it meant. There was Hashem. When you're in it, you don't see Hashem. You don't feel Hashem necessarily. It's very hard when you're in the process. But it's only achayra yisa. You can see me from behind, which means after you've completed, after the gemar, after the chsima, then you're able to survey the entire thing. You're able to see it clearly. When you're in it, you can't. So therefore, we understand that Chazal have revealed to us the importance, how the chesima of all brachas, so amazing, how everything ends with the word shalom, right? Shalom, peace, that's the chesima, that's the shleimus. Shalom means the shleimus, it means when something is finished, when something is done, when something is whole, it means that last breath is shleimus. Therefore we understand that in the bracha of Birchas Kahanim in the Torah, the blessing of the Kahanim of the priest in the Torah, of Yosem L'chashalom, the Chesima, is the end. Only at the end can there be Shleimus. Only when the process is complete can there be Yosem L'chashalom. Shas ends with the word Shalom. Shemin Esrei, Aisha Shalom, Aisha Shalom, Aleinu Akar Yisrael, Aisha Shalom, Remaimu, Shemin Esrei, we end with Shalom. Benching ends with Shalom. Benching ends with Shalom. The Chesima Shalom Shleim, this means that I'm only able to see the wholeness of something in its entirety only at the end. When I'm in it, I can't possibly see the Shleimus of something. I don't see the whole thing. When I'm in it, I'm still struggling. It's only afterwards that I'm able to sense, to have a feeling for the Shleimus of what I've just been through. Therefore, we know we have a Kabbalah that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, before he died, said that all of my life I was preparing only for this. The Baal Shem Tov said, all of my life I was preparing only for this. So for a person who's foolish, you would think that that's a very morbid thing to say. The Baal Shem Tov, we always heard you as such a cheerful person. And that sounds so morbid. All of your life you're preparing to die. So what does that mean? The Baal Shem HaKadosh wasn't saying anything morbid. He wasn't shaykh to anything like that, anything dark or depressing. The Baal Shem HaKadosh says that all of my life I'm preparing for this last moment, my last breath. All of life is a process. What's going to be is only known, that last moment. That last moment, the shleimus. And we know in the Gemara that there was such a thing as a person who was a great tzaddik for 80 years. And Seif Dover didn't work out. Seif Dover didn't work out. In other words, he didn't have the word shalom at the end of his pasuk. Anybody that would have lived with that tzaddik all of his life would never ever have dreamt of it. But yet, his last moments were not able. He was not able to have that word shalom on his mouth and his lips. So the completion is everything. Now, listen. This is not such a simple inyan, and it's something that if I were to have the time, it would require really two discussions just to get started. But I want to prepare for Yantiv. According to the Hashkaf of this world, a person of this world who's completely secular is not a person of faith. From the hashkafa of this world, the way this world sees things, when a person dies, the process is finished. So, gemarnu, sof pasuk. When a person dies, it's the sof pasuk, it's the end. And the guf is nifsad, and the body deteriorates in the grave. And that's the end. But this world, Chazal describes as an amad shikra. An Alma de Shekra, not just Mechzik de Shekra. It doesn't just appear to be. It's an Alma de Shekra. This world is dishonest. This world is dishonest. This world is not telling an honest story. The world is deceiving us. Because Chayis Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and I spoke about this in Sefer Bereishis at length, Rosh Hashanah time. Chayis Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Chayis Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and we know that the rule, that means that the seal of Hashem is Emes. And we know, and we spoke about this a number of times in Sefer Bereishis, that the definition of Emes is Kayim La'ad. Kayim La'ad means it doesn't stop. Emes means, by definition, it means from Aleph bis Sof, from Aleph till Sof, till the end. It doesn't. It's not interrupted. It doesn't stop in the middle. Chayis Moshkach Baruch Hu Emes. Therefore, we know that from the perspective of the Rebbeinu Shalom, who's true and everlasting, this world is not the end, and when a person dies, it's not the end. This world is a prize, though. This world is a hallway. This world is an alleyway that's leading to the Eil of Emes, to that which is completely true, leading to the Chesemes, to the completion, to the end, to the Shleimes. The Shleimus that has been revealed to us, and that every believing Jew accepts as one of the principles of our faith, is that ultimately the neshama will return to the body. Ultimately the soul and the body will be reunited. So when this world tells you, when someone has died, when this world tells you that that's it, it's finished, that's a lie. That's a lie. The world is telling a lie. It's fiction. That person is not finished. From the perspective of the Rebbeinu Shalom, who's Emes, that person is going to be brought back to life in some new way, in some marvelous, remarkable way. And that this is the side, this is the secret of Lakachti Eschem Li La'am. Let me explain. The fourth lashon, the fourth turn of redemption. This means that when it looks to us, when it appears to us that someone, it seems from the perspective of this world that someone has died, that would appear to be the end. That's it. It's finished. The tahalich, the process, has been concluded. But a Jew believes that there's a fourth term of redemption, which is v'lakachti. V'lakachti means that it's not finished over here, I'm taking you someplace else. There's something else. Lakachti means that there's something beyond this. This is what's hinted at in Parshas Achodesh. Parshas Achodesh, especially following Parshas Purim, that is hinting to us that death also will be resolved, that the problem of man's death also has a cure. In this world, death is final. Parshas Parah tells us that there's a tikkun. Parshas Parah means that death itself can be overcome. The fourth term of redemption of Lakachti means Parshas Achodesh, which the Rebbeinu Shalom tells us that after this world is finished, after the process seems to have been completed, then I'm taking you somewhere else. It's a lekicha. It's for the purpose of his chashis, of renewal. It's parshas achaydish. It's God taking man into a new state of existence. Although it appears through the eyes of this world that the process has been completed and it's finished. But v'lakachti means that beyond man's understanding, the Baruch Shalom has a tachlis, has a purpose, has a goal with you beyond what you think is the end. The Baruch Shalom has a tachlis. Chazal say, in the Gemara on Shabbos, B'shor Shemachnis and Adam Ledin. You know, the Gemara discusses there in Taisus, what happens when a person leaves this world. You know, he's being asked, he's being taken for judgment. And the Gemara there says that they ask him, Tzipisli Yeshua. The question, Tzipisli Yeshua, when you were in that world, in the physical world, were you amongst those who longed and believed in salvation, in redemption? Were you among those who believed in redemption at Tzipisli Yeshua? Rashi says, for the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. What does that mean? What is that question? And it's important we understand this, because we have to rehearse, we have to practice. We're going to be asked, Tzipisli Yeshua, each and every one of us, but someone in Swansea is going to be asked, Tzipisli Yeshua. Can you imagine the Baruch Shalom is going to look at us in the eyes and say, Tzipisli Yeshua, were you among those who are Mitzapli Yeshua? And if you think it just means Mashiach, you're wrong. What is the question, Tzipisli Yeshua? Were you among those who waited and craved and longed for redemption, for salvation? What does that mean? This is what it means. I believe this is what it means. It's very simple. How did you look at the world? What was your way of looking at the world? Did you look at the world as being it, as being final, as being the destination, as being the chesima, And therefore, did you see death as the completion of a process that's known as life? Or do you have a different kind of a tefisa? Or is your grasp, or when you were in this world, did you have a different grasp of reality? Did you have a grasp that included the word halakachti? That there's something beyond what you see with your eyes. There's something after this world. There's something after all of this. There's a tachlis, there's a hemshech, there's a continuation. And as we're going to talk about this in a few moments, that's not just a question of belief. It affects every single moment of your life. Every moment of your life, you know, when you're tempted by a very tempting aveira. So at that moment, if all you see is this world, then how could you possibly overcome that? If there's nobody watching, no one's going to know, and you're just going to enjoy this aveira, right? If there's nothing beyond this world that you're thinking about, if you're not a tzipisli Yeshua person, if you're not waiting for salvation, if you don't believe in v'lakachti, if you think that this world is finished when your body enters into the grave, then it becomes almost impossible to overcome that Yetzirah, that inclination. It becomes almost impossible. If you're troubled by the challenge, let's say, at work, you could either be honest or, God forbid, be dishonest. And if you're honest, you're going to have to pass up a deal that might earn you thousands, not earn you, earn you means work, that might get you thousands and thousands of dollars. If you'll be honest, you'll have to give that up. So when you're struggling with this, the question is, Rabbi Yid, the Rebbe Shalom is whispering already into your ear the question. It's not just from your 120, see, peace, the Yeshua. What does it mean? It means that if you think this is it, then help yourself to the money. What's the nafkimin? There's nothing after this anyway. Who cares? You might as well live it up. You might as well enjoy it. Are you crazy? No one's going to catch you. No one's going to catch you. The government's busy with other stuff. They have their own problems. Who's going to catch you? No one's going to catch you. But if you're a tzipisli Yeshua, if you're a Jew that's a tzipisli Yeshua person, so then every single moment of life, the question, you hear the question, not just when you die, the question is, Rabbi, is there something after this? Is there something beyond this? Are you a person who is waiting for Hashem to take you someplace? And if you are, what you're doing is going to hold that, it's going to hold that trip back. It's going to obstruct, it's going to prevent you from going where you need to go, to reaching someplace where Hashem has for you, has prepared for you. Therefore, we understand. Tchias HaMeisim, belief in the resurrection, even though there is disagreement among the Rishonim about whether that should be included as one of the Yisaydis of Emunah, Nimnu V'Gomru, we are the students of Rabbeinu, Moshe Ben Maimon of the Rambam, and we all believe, Be'Emunah Shleima, we say it, we believe in Tchias HaMeisim. And some of the fundamental principles of Yiddishkeit. And Chazal say, Ve'elu she'ein lehem chelek le'olam haba, these are the people who do not have a portion in the world to come. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. Listen very carefully to these words. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. Who doesn't, one of the people who, God forbid, does not have a portion, does not have a place in the coming world, is not just someone who says there is no tchias ha'meisim. That's not what the Gemara says. It says, the lashon is somebody who says, She'ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. That the Torah does not teach us of tchias ha'meisim. It's not found in the Torah. It sounds like it means that even if you believe in tchias ha'meisim, but you think that it's something that came about later on, this belief, or that it's maybe from the Chachamim, from the sages, or maybe a Navi, and it's not from the essence of Torah itself, from Chumash, from Chamisha, from Shetorah, so this, God forbid, would render you a kosher, would mean that you're a heretic, and that you have no portion in the world to come. So what does that mean? And the Rishonim Medayik, and the Achronim Medayik, what does it mean when it says, Ein Tchias HaMeisim Na Torah? Which is the person who says there's no Tchias HaMeisim. So apparently, even if you believe that there's such a concept as Tchias, there is such a thing, but you don't believe that it's Na Torah, then you're a kosher, God forbid. You're a heretic. What does this mean? And now to understand Tchias HaMeisim. And how Tchias HaMeisim is not just something that we wait for, many, you know, in the future, in the years to come. Tchias HaMeisim is a way to live right now with the belief in Tchias HaMeisim. And that's why it's in the month of Nisan, which is the time of Hischadshus of renewal. There's something that's absolutely shocking if you think about it. The Baruch Shalom told us through his Chachamim, and it's alluded to many psukim in Tanakh, that Hashem created this world to reveal His glory, to reveal His kingdom, to reveal his malchus. That human beings should be able to bask in the beautiful, beautiful light of Hashem's kingdom. And we also know that nothing was created levatola, nothing was created for no reason. Everything has a tachlis, everything has a reason. But if you think about it, since, and I have to be very careful how I word this, since the day that the world was created, since the moment that this world came into existence, till today, till this day, the tachlis has not been seen. The tachlis has not been felt. Let's go through a short list. Adam Arishan. Adam, so David Melch said about Adam Arishan, Bika Bayolin, that means that he didn't even go to sleep. That first day when he was in this world, everything was already, everything was ruined. The first day, he didn't even go to sleep. He didn't even have one night of experiencing the toughness of his creation. Because when Adam Arishan went to sleep that night, that Friday night when he went to sleep, there already was an unbelievable kilkel, and Hashem's glory was not revealed in the world. It could have been, it should have been, it would have been. Adam Arishan was shining from heaven to earth, and he was 500 miles high, and all of that, but by the time he went to sleep, it was all for foul. So the Baruch Shem's tachlis, it was exciting. It looked like something really big was going to happen. Major disappointment. The revelation of Hashem's kingdom was cancelled. Postponed. Right? No. After that, you know, there were 2,000 years of tohu, of emptiness. Right? 2,000 years of tohu. Whatever that means, and I can talk about it now. 2,000 years of tohu, Chazal called it tohu. Okay, so during that time, there's a development, something is developing. It looks like it's going to finally bring to the tachlis, and Hashem is preparing this amazing nation, and so on. And finally, we come to the day when the tachlis is going to be revealed, and the celebration is going to take place, and everything is going to finally be fixed, and what happened with Adam is going to be repaired. It's the day of Kabbalah Satayra. It's the time of Maimon HaSinai. So when Maimon HaSinai came to the time of the Tikkun, and David HaMelech said the end of the Pasuk, Ochen Ka'odim Tumusin, that Bnei Yisrael, Klai Yisrael, botched up, and the Tachlis was not revealed, and Chazal say, Eloshen, Aluva, Kala, Mezana, B'seichu, Posa, how humiliating, how embarrassing that a Kala, that a bride, was unfaithful under her chuppah. And the Jewish people are compared to a bride who was unfaithful under her own chuppah. By her own chasen, she went and she was unfaithful. So here was the tachlis again. It was going to be redemption. It was going to be the destruction of the snake of the evil one. It was going to be eternal life. It was going to be a second chance for the tachlis to be revealed. And again, Ochen Ka'odim Tumus, and like man, we went and death never left us. And it didn't work out. The tachlis was not revealed. Again, an unbelievable disappointment. Okay, so whatever happened, tshuva and so on. So it came time for that Kamas HaMishkan. So it came time for the Mishkan, and the day of Nigla Kved Hashem, that the glory of Hashem was to be revealed, and the Shechina was to descend after this very, very generous forgiveness that Hashem provided us with. And He not only did He forgive us, but He also gave us the opportunity to build a Mishkan to which His Shechina was now going to descend. And Chazal say on the Pasuk, Vayhi b'yayim ha'shmini, on the eighth day of the Miluim, Vayhi b'yayim ha'shmini, that it compares it to Vayhi erev, Vayhi boker, that never since the time of creation has there been such joy. The most joyous day since the world was created. Why? Because finally, after thousands of years, the Tachlis was finally going to be revealed. And Hashem's glory, the cloud was going to enter into the, Hashem's presence was going to enter into this world, which is the tachlis of creation. And the Jewish people are preparing for that wondrous day, which is, by the way, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as you all know. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Bayi B'yayim, at the height of the festivities, at the most exciting moment, when everything is just beginning to work out, Adam HaRishon didn't work out, Kabbalah Satayra didn't work out, but now we're going to make this work. This is it. So Nadav and Avihu, the end of the party. Boom. The Tzaddik HaElyon, are killed. And the chait was a chait that, according to the Svarma Kedoshim, brought back the darkness of the snake of the other side of impurity. And so it goes on. Shlomo HaMelech builds a Beis HaMikdash. Here we are. A big day, big opportunity, right? For the tachlis of creation to be fulfilled, the Beis HaMikdash is being built. Beis HaMikdash is the day of the Chanukah Abayis. It's the day of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech, Chazal tells Boaz HaLayla, on that night, he married the daughter of Paro. Right? And that night he married the daughter of Paro. And not only that, but Chazal say that the simcha that he had, the joy of his own personal marriage, was greater than the simcha of the completion of the Beis HaMikdash. And Gavriel, the angel Gavriel, came and he took a stick, as you all know, he took a branch of some sort, and he put it into the ocean, and from that developed the Krag Godel Sharaimi, developed the world of Rome, Western civilization, the Vatican, the Pope, Amalek, the whole business. On that night of the Beis HaMikdash, that night of the Chanukah Sabayis, the Shtel Chasana with Bas Paro, and on that night, the fourth Malchus of Rome, the one that was still stuck in, the exile of Rome, was born. Instead of Mashiach being born, instead of redemption, Rome came into existence. So when you think about it, it's really a Rachmanis. It's really a Rachmanis. That the Baruch doesn't have any Nachas. It doesn't have any Nachas. We were talking last week about the Tachlis is to give Nachas to the one who created us. What Nachas did the Baruch have from this world? That he told us that he created this world for that purpose of revealing his presence in the Tachtayim, in this world. And any time, just a thought, when it could have happened, when it was supposed to happen, it didn't. Any sensitive person must be filled with ashtoimus, with wonder and astonishment, that not once since creation has it worked out, that the Tachlis hasn't been fulfilled since creation, since the time of the Briya. So there hasn't been a shleimus. God's world isn't perfect. God's world is in such ruins. It's in such ruins. Every single day, if you have the courage to listen to the news, or if you're insane enough to look at a newspaper, that the world is filled with misery, with suffering, with imperfection. So where's the Kavod Hashem? Where's the Tachlis? So this is what we're talking about. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the wicked, the tzaddikim, the righteous, have not rejoiced yet in my world. The tzaddikim have yet experienced true joy. And you want to have Swiss 16s, and you want to have parties, and you want to have birthdays, and you want to have all kinds of fun and have a great time. The tzaddikim haven't yet had full joy. And you want the joy? Somach Yisrael Ba'isav. Lo Yiksiv, Ela Yismach Yisrael Ba'isav. It doesn't say in the past tense that the Jews have rejoiced in the one who created them. It's a promise for the future. Yismach Yisrael Ba'isav. In the end, the Jewish people will rejoice forever and ever. In the future, the Jewish people will have great joy. B'maisav Shalkadosh Baruch, which means that Olam Hazeh, this world before the final Tikkun, before the Velakachti, before the fourth language of Geula, before we're taken somewhere else, from the perspective of this world, every single time there's joy, it ends. You love someone and the person dies. He loves you and you die. Whatever you're looking forward to comes to an end. There's no Hemshech, there's no continuation. So in Meila there's no simcha. There's no simcha because all we are, we're in a tahalich, we're in a process. We're in something that's happening, it's unfolding. So the nations of the world are trying to find simcha here and now. But Klal Yisrael is Yismach Yisrael B'Yisav.
because this isn't finished. And therefore, since it's only at the end, where what? You could finally say the word shalom. Shalom is the chesima. Shas and Shemone Esrei and benching, Birchas Kahanim. The chesima is only, it's the shleimus, the shalom is only by the chesima. It's only by the end. In the tahalich, in the process, it's not finished, it's not the chesima. And this is the oimek hamusik, understand what I say, this is the deeper meaning of tchias ameisim, which is mechuyiv min ha-Torah. When Chazal say that if you don't believe that tchias ameisim is from the Torah, you are not bikaris, God forbid, you are a heretic. What does it mean? It means that if you believe in the Torah, you must believe in tchias ameisim. The Torah must contain within it the mystery of tchias ameisim. Why? This even now in this unfinished world, scientists have revealed, Baruch Hashem, that nothing really dies. There is no absolute death. I don't remember any science, and I haven't brushed up on it at all, but I understand from the little that I recall, the little that I remember, is that all you have in existence is v'lakachti. That means that something is taken from one state of existence to another state of existence. But all matter is conserved in one form or another. It could be in a different form, energy, whatever it might be. But there is nothing that ends in this world. Even Baha'i al Midashikr, even in this world that hasn't yet come to the tach, that hasn't come to the end. The problem, however, is that there's an unbelievable mechitza that prevents us from seeing this. There's a mechitza that doesn't allow man to feel that there's something beyond what he sees with his eyes. So, according to our eyes, something is dead. It's finished. There's nothing to talk about. Look, the Anshe Hamada, men of intelligence, scientists, have shown us that any word that a person says, anything that any sound that was ever made, continues to exist forever. There are sounds that are still in the universe from planets that disappeared many, many years ago. From planets, from events that took place that seemed to have been completed many years ago. And we understand pashtus in science that a person says something, and this is, you know, the Chavis Chaim was so shaken by the invention of the telephone. Because the Chavis Chaim said, I've always been telling you that if you say something here, it's heard someplace else. That's what I've been telling you all these years. That means that there's not one deeper that's lost. So listen, you're davening and you said, didn't go. I davened something, it didn't work. So in your mind, that davening just dropped dead. It's the end of your davening. Your davening died. You said it, and it went, pip, 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 pip. And now you can make like a little grave, a little headstone, a little tombstone. Here lies my prayer. Right? Po nitman tilas so-and-so ben so-and-so. This is where my prayer died. The second left my mouth, it fell right to the ground, and this is where it's buried. Now we learned already, even Pashtus, even Levam Hazer, we learned that what? That nothing dies. It's just that you have to have the kelim to perceive it. So in modern times, they began to develop kelim that are able to pick up on these things. That until modern times, the takif, it looked like it was finished. And only Balei HaRuach, only Anshei HaRuach, only people of spirit, only people of belief or faith thought that there was something, there's such a thing as tchia, that something has a velakachti. There's a fourth cup of wine. There's a velakachti. There's another state. That's everything in this world is being taken somewhere else, to something else, to a better state, to a more refined state. Only Anshei Ruach believed in that. But in our door, in our generation, even in Pashtus and Gashmias, Kalim have been developed to pick up on the residue, on something that remains, a Roshim that was left in creation. The problem is that there's a mechitz in this world, there's a divide, there's a separation, there's something that's causing us not to see. And since we can't see that there's an end, that there's something beyond the self, beyond death, beyond what appears to us to be the completion of the tahalich of the process, we don't see the v'lakachta, we don't see the tachlis. Therefore, when you and I are in this world, and there's a yetzara that's coming, and the Yetzirah is saying, do this, you can enjoy this moment, because you're not going to have this moment again. That's all the world is saying. That's all advertising is about. Every single human being in this world, every time he bumps into any advertisement, any commercial, everything is screaming one thing. It's saying, you're going to die. It's so depressing. You're going to die, and all you have is this moment. And if you don't enjoy this moment, then you're not going to have this moment again, and all you're going to experience is the bitterness of death. Tchias HaMesim means that I believe that by my turning my eyes and not looking at this that you're telling me to look at, and by not tasting this thing that you're telling me to taste of, I believe that that proves that I believe that there's something beyond this. There's a velakachti, there's a fourth kais, there's a fourth cup of wine of redemption. And that's what it means when Chazal learned the Pasuk. The Pasuk of Hazinu. This is the Pasuk of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. It says, Ani Omis Vachaya. This is the Pasuk that the Rishon, the Kadmonim bring. I cause death and I bring life. Hashem says, listen to this. Mochasti Vani Erpa. I bring sickness or injury. Mochasti. Listen to the Lashon. I bring sickness and injury. Va'erpa. Vani Erpa. And I will bring a cure. So Chazal say, it says machasti, ksivle case, he doesn't say I kill, it says machasti. And Chazal say, mechitza shasisi ben alyanim sachtonim. Hashem says, I have created a barrier, I have created a divider, I have created an illusion that's called this world, that separates, that doesn't allow us to see the alyanim, it separates between the lower world and the higher world. But Chazal say, la'asalavai, af oisa mechitza ni choizer umarape. But La Hasilava, when Mashiach comes, I'm going to remove that, but I'm going to show you there's a velakachti. There's a tachlis to man's life. There's a purpose, there's a safe, there's something beyond what you see. There's something else, there's something, there's a tchias HaMesim. And that's what tchias HaMesim means. And the omis v'achaye, machafti v'anierpe. Tchias HaMesim in the Torah means that a Jewish person believes that the Torah, which is a Torah's chaim, if you believe in God, if you believe that the Torah is a Torah of life, if you believe in the pasuk that says, "Ubacharta b'chaim, you shall choose life," and you look at this world, and you're able to say that based upon my research of this world, I have seen life, then you're nuts. Because all you see in this world is misery and death. You see something born, and then it has a short little life, that's called life, and it has an end. So what did Hashem mean when he said, Uvacharta v'chaim, chose life? What did he mean? He meant 60, 70 years, and then a couple of years, who knows what, God forbid, being sick in a nursing home, and then Kaddish? This is the whole business. That's Uvacharta v'chaim. And what about all of history? Where is the chias in all of history? Not all the Merishim, not Kabbalah Satayra, not the Mishkan, not the Bais HaMikdash, Churban, disappointment, Uvachat, Uvachayim, what does it mean to choose life? The Torah is forcing you to admit that choosing life means that we haven't gotten there yet. It means believing in that's called V'lakachti, that Hashem is taking us someplace. That nothing in this world is destroyed. That if I davened and I didn't see it answered here, that tefillah has been taken somewhere else. If I have, God forbid, a child who didn't survive, a child who died in this world, there's a malakachti with that child. If there's someone that I love, God forbid, who seemed to have reached the safe, the end of the pasuk, v'lakachti means uvacharta v'chaim. And that will make the difference of on that day of that funeral, Hashem Yirachem. On the day of the funeral, I'd be able to gather my koiches and serve the master of the universe and start again, and come to Parshas HaChodesh. That's what Nisan means. Tchias HaMesim. HaChodesh HaZelachem. His Chadshes. Because if I don't believe in V'lakachti, that means that together with that person, all my hopes and dreams and aspirations have been buried. and it's the Seif, it's the end. There is no Vilakachti. And if there is no Vilakachti, then how do you get up the next morning? Where's the Uvacharta B'chaim? What kind of B'chaim is it? I can't live like this. With it, I can't live. Uvacharta B'chaim means nothing dies. Not davening, not children, not adults, not hopes, not dreams. Nothing dies. That's Tchis HaMesim Natayr. Uvacharta B'chaim. That's what it means. I bring death, and then afterwards I bring life. That's Vilakachti, that's Pesach. That's Nisan, that's Chesem Mesem. So why don't we see this? Why don't we feel it? Why isn't it strong in us? Because the Baruch Hu says, Ani Machasti, I made a Mechitza, that there should be free choice. So every single moment of your life you're being asked, Tzipisli Yeshua? Are you waiting for salvation? If you are, then you could see beyond this moment. If you're not, then all you have is this moment. And if all you have is this moment, why should I get up for davening? Right? Why should I get up for davening? Davening's a suffix. I don't know if he's going to answer me. I don't know if it pays. It's cold out. The bed is a vaday. The comfort of my bed is absolutely certain. The ain't suffix might seem the vaday be paskin. Something that's uncertain cannot overtake something that is certain. So what is it that gives the Jew strength to get out of bed? If he doesn't have to, I'm talking about a day off, I'm talking about to go to work, he doesn't have to. What gives him the strength to get out of bed? It's Vani Amis Vachaya. It means that there's a Velokachti. Because if not, all I have is this moment. So why should I? So the Baruch Shalom whispers into your ear at that moment, Rabbi, listen. You know, I'm going to ask you a question some years from now, and I'm going to start right now. Say, peace to Yeshua. Do you wait for salvation? Do you believe there's something beyond what you see with your eyes? With your eyes you see a pillow. With your neshama you see the Shekhinah. What are you holding? What are you holding? Because if you can't overcome that moment, then how do you explain Jewish history? Because if you look at Jewish history, it's incredulous that the Jewish people are people that believe in Uvacharta B'chaim, because there's never been any people on this earth who have experienced death as much as our people. Who have tasted from the Sam Hamisa, Sam Amovis is our people, from that bitter cup of death, as our people. And yet the Jewish people are alive. And the Jewish people believe in life. We believe in Tzipisli Yeshua every single moment. Therefore you see that the whole Ischachis and the Bracha that we make on the Ilonis in the month of Nisan on the world coming back to life, I would have cooked meant, if we had time to talk about it, that it's the springtime of life, of history. When the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, and the world was given a promise of a Lakachti in Parshas Ve'era. Therefore a person knows that it's possible that you planted this time of the year and the world begins to come to life, you put a little seed in the ground, and from the perspective of this world, that seed just dies in the ground. It can't go anywhere. But from the perspective of a Lakachti, Hashem takes the tree and takes that seed, which deteriorates into the ground, which rots in the ground, and Hashem takes it to something else. You can't see it. Ani machatzti. Hashem ani machitzi. You can't even see it. So now they began to explain over the years, there's such an Indian, how it works. Ani machatzti. But there's a machitz that doesn't allow you to see that. That doesn't allow you to see that it blocks that, it blocks the end, it blocks that thing of shalom, of shlemus. This is the side, therefore, when we come to this month of Nisan, and the simcha of the month of Nisan, that's absolutely hafladik. Hachodesh hazeh lochem. It's all this from say, hischadshis, to start again. The moon looks like it's dead, and then, oh, hachodesh hazeh lochem. New moon. In the middle of the night. The Ramban learns that Shamur is Chodesh Ha'Av, and it says in Pasuk to guard and to watch the month of the spring, Nisan, Pesach. The Ramban learns that there's a special mitzvah to remember that Chodesh Nisan is Chodesh Ha'Av. And therefore you know that our calendar is established based upon that. That Pesach must come out in the spring. And everything is arranged in our calendar to make sure that that happens, right? That Pesach must come out in the spring. Because Aviv, the word Aviv, and here also I just have to be Makatsa, in Lashon HaKodesh, you know that when you take a word and then you repeat the word in the same word. I'm going to give you an example of this in a moment. It means a smaller version of something. For instance, like the word katan, which means small. Kitantan means tiny. Becomes smaller, right? Eitz is a tree. Otzitz. A little plant. Otzitz. Eitz, otzitz. So therefore, Rabbi Leiga says that redemption, Pesach, is in Chodesh HaAviv. Aviv, he says, is Av. A small taste of the month of Av. Rabbi Leiga said this. Aviv is Av in a miniature form. What does that mean? Rabbi Leiga said that Nisan is the beginning of the Tzmichas HaGeula. It's the beginning of the blossoming of redemption. It's just a little bit of a taste. The Bereshit took us out of Mitzrayim, and that's why you and I can get out of problems, we can bring ourselves out of Mitzrayim. But it's not yet for Lakachti. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Nisan is the beginning of life. It's the renewal of life. It's the beginning, it's the renewal. But the Sofa Tahalich, Rabbi Leibler says, is Menachem Av. Is the Aleph base, is Menachem Av, is the month of Churban being transformed. It's the beginning. Av means the beginning, it means everything. It means the father, it means Av. Aviv means a little father. It means a little father. Av means the father, Aviv means a little father. That means so far we had in this world a little bit of a taste of redemption. And that's not bad. Pesach. It's not a bit. You get off from work, you have shmur matzahs, you have a seder with a mishpacha, that's just a taste. But all that we see is Mitzrayim means, which is everything. Everything that we do is Eichel Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Everything we do. And that's only a little aviv, a little father. But when is Hashem going to reveal all of His glory, His essence, all of His fatherness, all of His being our Father? That's going to be the tikkun of Menachem Av. The tikkun of Menachem Av. So Parshas HaChodesh means the beginning, it means a fresh start. So I want to tell you something very interesting that, you know, in Tanakh, our relationship with Hashem is described as in a number of ways. It's being engaged and being married and so on. So everybody knows that Zachati lo chesed nerayach ahavas kol asayach, that the time that the Baruch Shalom was engaged to Klai Yisrael, the engagement was Pesach. That's the chesed nerayach ahavas kol asayach, that's the engagement. The Baruch Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim, it's Pesach. That's the springtime, that's the beginning. That's that first love. That's the first love, Pesach. So that's the period that's called engagement. And everybody knows when is the chasana, no? Shavuos, Kabbalas Torah. Shavuos is the Chasana. Yom Chuposai, Yom Chasunos. I'm sorry, right? Zumatan Torah. Matan Torah is the Chasana. So there's a din in the Gemara, and everybody is very, very machmir with this din. Also, the Kaddish is a Isha Ad Shiyarena. So you're not supposed to become betrothed, engaged to a woman unless you've seen her, unless you've met her, right? Which is the source of, in a very, very exaggerated way, of dating in the whole Indian. So also the Kaddish is a Isha. That means that the weeks that are leading up to, the weeks that are leading up to Pesach is the time that the Baruch Shalom and the Jewish people are going out on a date. It means that we're dating. It makes sense, no? If Pesach is the Arison, if Pesach is the engagement, and Shavuos is the Chasana. So it means that the four parashiyos is when we're going out with the Baruch Shalom. And the teva in this world, the nature in this world is that when people are going out, they put their best foot forward. They should. You only begin to find out that there's some problems later on. But during the dating, the girl is makashis. She's makashit herself. She tries to make herself extremely attractive in all ways, and if it's possible for the guy to do that, so he'll make whatever effort he can to be somewhat presentable and took up a couple of words in the dictionary before, and to try to make believe he's a little bit refined and so on. Everybody's trying hard, right? So the Baruch Shalom is a wonderful chassan. He's Borcha Kehalacha. The Baruch Shalom is a Borcha. We say in the Pid, right? In Pesach, the Seder. The Baruch Shalom is a wonderful chassan. And the Jewish people during this time as we're leading up to Pesach, we're trying to find favor in his eyes. We want to be a good date. We want to be beautiful and appealing to the one who's taking us out, which is the Baruch Shalom, so they don't want to be engaged to us Pesach time. And you know what the Baruch Shalom finds most attractive about his kala? Most attractive about his kala. What the Baruch Shalom loves most, it's not at all like people in this world. What the Baruch Shalom finds most attractive about his kala is when his kala is on her knees cleaning for Pesach. That's what the Baruch Shalom finds most appealing about his kala. The most appealing thing is that there are Jews who are Meis and Nefesh, because if you believe in Chesed Meisim, if you believe in Tzipisa Yeshua, then every little crumb does make a difference. And you know that you don't know me for a long time, so I don't know, some of you I know for a long time, but you know that every year I cry about this business about running away for Pesach. The people run away from preparing for Pesach, and they're afraid of Pesach. I'm not talking of, God forbid, someone's not able to, of course. Or if for some reason the Mishpacha can, I'm not talking about going to Eretz Yisrael either, that's a schus. Or if people are able to get, only family can only get together in that kind of a setup, you know, with a hotel or something. One of my students told me that they're advertising in the newspaper Pesach, I forgot, in some very, very distant exotic place. I don't remember where.
Vietnam?
I didn't hear that. Then you win. I didn't hear that. There's such a... To have like a Pesach and... Oh, that's something else. Now, Lubavitch maybe is trying to... Maybe there's some Jews that are over there. That's something else. I'm not talking... Lubavitch is looking for Yidden. I'm talking about people who want to go on a vacation somewhere. Nah, Spain's not even for a while. There's some place really, really out there that they're advertising to come Pesach to this place. You know, this is a place where, you know, since the Jews have left Mitzrayim, they never were able to be in this place. So what is it, you know... If I would talk about this, and please don't make a mistake and misinterpret what I'm saying. You think I don't forget the Jews should have a nice vacation in some warm weather and should be able to sit under some palm tree someplace and talk to their cousin. I mean, I have nothing against. I only want Jews to be comfortable and happy. I wouldn't mind it myself, to tell you the truth. But the problem is that the cost is much more than people realize. The cost of that is... Growing up in a house where I saw what Pesach, when we saw, all of us saw what Pesach meant by our parents, and what it meant to prepare for Yom Tov, and how we're living in a generation where that itself becomes a burden. Maha Avoda Azayis Lachem. It's brought in the Chassidus Svarim that the Ben HaRosha, the question of the Rosh and the Haggadah is, Maha Avoda Azayis Lachem. What's everybody working so hard about? You should go to a hotel. Maha Avoda Azayis Lachem. Why should you work hard if you can go to a hotel? So, once you make a cheshbon and nefesh, if you think that it doesn't have a toll in our generation, the whole thing of the kids, that they're growing up in a world where there's no inyan of tzipis l'yeshua. I want it, and I want it now. And I don't have to work for it either. A Jew who lives with chias amesim is ready to schwitz, the Baditchim said, with the schwitzing of Pesach. Ah, that's the krasotin from the Shaifer, the schwitzing of her Pesach. Every single drop that a Jew perspires for Pesach brings salvation, brings Gula and Yeshua and Kapara. But we're raising a generation that the children are being taught by their parents. All you have is this moment. Live it up. Everything, of course, no gebrox and kosher Pesach l'mahadrim l'mahadrim. 100% chal of Yisrael. Everything is kosher. There's one thing that's not kosher. There's no tchias emesim. Gornished. Nothing. Give me it, give me now, and I'm not going to work for anything. Working for something means there's a tchias amesim. It means there's a velakachti. It means that it's worth it. It's worth it. And you know something? Anybody that makes Pesach in the house, when you sit down at the Seder, I would challenge anybody in the fanciest hotel, even if you're one of the few that's zoicher for your private room, that they give you a place where they bring you to eat in your room. I will challenge any one of those Jews in their rooms to a say, to compare it to a Seder where it's hard work, but when you sit down in your house with your family, in your place, the place where you where you say Tehillim, the place where your children play, I challenge anybody. I don't care if it's in Timbuktu and it's the most beautiful hotel that was ever created. Ain't a dime. Because when you have Pesach at home, it's a taste of Tchias HaMeisim. When you have Pesach away, it's a taste of Misa itself. I know it sounds terrible to say such a thing, and please forgive me, I don't mean any personal thing. People that sit in a dining room with hundreds of people and they're in the hair and making you say the kind of a thing is that Pesach. See, things Jews never did it because they couldn't afford it. They never did it because they were Jews that wanted to prepare for Yontif. They believed in Tchias HaMeisim. They believed that a Yontif, that working for Yontif, bears fruit. Even though it's hard, and I know it's difficult, and especially for the women, it's mamish. It's a tremendous avdus. But if it's with the right attitude, it's a labor of love. If you're a tzipisli yeshua person, then you could go through it and you could say, you know what, there's going to be a velakachti, such a beautiful lakachti from this. And you could even taste it in this world. You don't have to even wait for 120, even in this world. So the Rebbeinu should help us, that we should believe that there's something beyond what we see with our eyes. And we shouldn't be afraid to work for those things. And we should say, as Hashem Baruch promised us, that the way he showed us miracles when he took us out of Mitzrayim, and in the flesh, he's going to show us even greater wonders, more miraculous things. With the Gula Hashleima V'Amitis, with the Chesima, with the final Chesima that's going to have the seal and the signature of the Berikah Olamim, of the Gula Hashleima V'Amitis, from him, Yemeinu, Amen.